Dylan and faithful worship team, grateful to be with you in worship and led by you as well. So at this time, any little ones can go to Mountaintop Kids, and we send you with God's blessing and hope you have a lot of fun and learn something new too. So while our kids are making their way to the doors, just to reiterate my gratitude for being here with all of you this morning, it is something of a surreal joy to be up here on this platform again. I think the last time I was in this place was when I was voted in by the congregation, and so it feels like this beautiful kind of full circle to be back now preaching. What an honor it is to get to do that with all of you. For the past 5 weeks or so, Amy and Mike have been faithfully leading the congregation through a series called New Beginnings. It's been an opportunity for First Presbyterian Church to reflect on the new thing God is doing, both in 2025, but also here as a church family, as I get settled as your new senior pastor and we embark on this journey together. And if there's one thing that you've heard throughout this series, I hope it's the bedrock truth that God goes first, that any new beginning worth taking, any new start worth undergoing is one that begins or starts with God. That's something that we Christians believe, but especially we Presbyterians believe. We are people who believe in God's sovereignty, God's centrality, God's primacy, God's covenant love and faithfulness, that He is always and ever leading the way. And so to remember this, or to help us enter more fully into this over the next couple of months, we're going to be reflecting on this theme by looking at the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Jesus over and over again identifies himself with those words, I am, to remind us who God is and who we are in his light. And yet, plot twist, this morning we're not going to look at the Gospel of John. We're going to start in the book of Exodus, to set the stage a little bit, to prime the pump, to get us ready for what's to come. So the reading this morning is a familiar one. It's the story of Moses and the Lord and the burning bush. You can find it in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. If you have Bibles, you're welcome to read along from where you are. You can look at the screens, or you can simply listen well and listen carefully, for this too is God's word. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you all pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this Sunday morning, we invite you here. We trust that you are already here, more near to us even than we are to ourselves. And so we ask that you would speak. Speak to all of us, speak to me, that as I speak, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I love this story. How about y'all? I've loved it since I was a kid in Alpharetta, Georgia, where I grew up, and I learned about it on flannel graph in my Sunday school class. I've loved it since I was a teenager, and my family and I went down to Phipps Plaza Mall in Atlanta to watch the movie The Prince of Egypt on the big screen, which tells the story of Moses and the Exodus in a really beautiful way. I've loved this story since being a young adult at Duke Divinity School just down the road in Durham and having a professor unpack the meaning of this story, even quote it or read it in Hebrew, peeling back all the significance layer after layer after layer. I love it right now. I love the mystery of it. I love the intimacy of it. I love the Jewishness of it. I love the miracle that it reveals for us of a majestic and mighty God coming down to meet with messy humankind. And there's so much we could say about Exodus 3 this morning. So much we could say about the whole book of Exodus, of course, and about all of Scripture. But this morning I want us to pay attention to three particular points that jumped right out to me this past week. Three things to notice from this passage about who God is and about what that means for us. Is this bugging y'all? Do you hear that? Okay, it's not just in my head. First thing we notice in this scripture this morning is a confrontation. Second thing we notice is a conversation. And the third thing we notice is a calling to follow Christ. I made it easy for us because they all start with the letter C this morning. In Exodus 3, we see a confrontation. Then we see a conversation that opens us up to a new calling to follow Christ. So think first about the confrontation that's revealed in Exodus 3. This encounter between God and Moses out in the wilderness. Y'all remember Moses, don't you? If you don't, he's this towering figure in the Old Testament. He shows up here at the beginning of the book of Exodus, born to the Israelite people, yet raised as an Egyptian. He's sort of growing up in the palaces of Pharaoh while his own people, the Israelites, are living in slavery under the thumb of the Pharaoh. And one day, Moses sees a guy, one of his fellow Israelites, getting beaten by an Egyptian, and Moses intervenes. He winds up killing that Egyptian. So Moses runs for the hills and makes a new life for himself in the land of Midian, kind of goes to the hills and hunkers down, marries a woman named Zipporah, goes to work for her dad Jethro, and becomes a shepherd, minding his own business. Certainly not seeking for God. In fact, you might say he's hiding from God when one day, while Moses is out with the sheep, God shows up. God appears. God confronts Moses by calling Moses by his name. He says, Moses, stopping Moses in his tracks and turning everything around. Because this is what God does. Have you noticed? At least throughout the story of Scripture, we see God doing this again and again and again. In this case, it happens through this bush that burns, but that is not consumed. We'll see it later on when it comes to a man named Jonah who's fleeing to Tarshish and he gets swallowed by a great fish. Think about it in terms of the prophet Elijah who goes to hide in a cave and hears God's still small voice. Think about the apostle Paul who's making his way to Damascus when he sees a light from above. God is constantly confronting people to turn their lives around. to invite them into something new and something different. And y'all, this isn't just what we see in Scripture. This is something we can see in our own lives too. I mean, maybe not in quite as dramatic ways, quite as sort of awe-inspiring ways, but we see it happening nonetheless. Can I give y'all an example? About 6 months ago, I got a phone call from a member of your pastor nominating committee. Now, here I was minding my own business, just going about my everyday life, and the phone rings, and I say, hello? And I start to wonder, God, is this you? I'm not going to tell you which PNC member it was, because I don't want them to get a big head this morning, but it raised the question for me, right? Is this just a weird occurrence, a kind of flash in the pan thing? Or might God actually be trying to get my attention? That's what we see in Exodus 3 this morning. God showing up to confront Moses and to invite him into something new and something different. And yet it's interesting to me that in the story, God doesn't do this in order to control Moses. Just to have Moses do his bidding mechanistically as though Moses is just a puppet on a string, right? But in fact, we see God giving Moses a chance to speak. He invites Moses to give a response to the very presence of God, which means that this confrontation that we see actually leads to a conversation here in Scripture. It leads to a dialogue, a back and forth between God and Moses, which is a really big deal because up until this point, the Israelites would certainly have known God as the creator of all things. And they would have known God as the covenant maker, making a promise with his people. God was powerful, God was holy, God was steadfast, but perhaps they would have thought of God as somewhat distant or inaccessible even, and yet now we see God drawing near. We see God coming down. We see God revealing himself in this intimate and personal and familial way. I am the God of your fathers, Moses, God says. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all the Israelites, I have heard their cries and seen their suffering, and now I have come to enter in, to rescue them, to deliver them, to bring justice to them, of course, to save them, which in a nutshell teaches Moses that God cares. There's another C word for us to hold on to this morning. God cares. Or to use a phrase that many of you at First Pres would be familiar with, it teaches us that God makes room for Moses to have a say in the matter. It's almost like God is saying, let's talk this through, Moses, so that you know what you're getting into. It reminds me, you wouldn't have a conversation with somebody you didn't care about, right? You wouldn't try and make room with somebody that you didn't want to get to know or walk alongside. That's what God does for Moses, but also for us today too. Think back to that encounter with the PNC that I had about 6 months ago when my phone rang. That phone call led to a Zoom call. And that Zoom call led to a lot of face-to-face meetings. Why? Because a confrontation opened us up to conversation. As both me, but also the PNC, or me and my family, or the PNC and others here at the church, had to enter a process of discernment, going back and forth to really seek the Lord's will in that process. It wasn't just a one-and-done kind of thing, right? Like a light switch. We had to talk about it. We had to learn and grow and truly hear God's voice. God, is this you? How could I know? How could the PNC know? It was like we were taking off our shoes because we were standing on holy ground. That's what God invited Moses to do, and that's what opens the door for God to give Moses his new calling. This calling or vocation that emerges after God has confronted Moses and had a conversation with Moses. God tells Moses to join with God in his mission to rescue and deliver and bring justice and save the people. God says, now go and set my people free. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and into a better land. Just think about it. If God hadn't confronted Moses, then Moses probably would have taken his sheep out that day and brought them back home again, none the wiser, and nothing would have changed. And then if God hadn't allowed space for conversation with Moses, then Moses probably wouldn't have trusted God, right? He would have seen this bush that's burning but not being consumed and thought, have I been out in the wilderness too long? Am I starting to hallucinate because of the heat? Or perhaps I'm seeing one of these other pagan deities I've heard about, or another demon who's out here pursuing me. And yet God did both these things, confronting Moses, conversing with Moses, so that when the time was right, Moses would be ready for God's call. He'd be ready for God's call, open and willing to hear the Lord and to trust in him. That doesn't mean Moses wasn't feeling some fear and trepidation, right? I mean, who wouldn't be if they saw this bush that's burning and then they heard this divine voice coming out of it telling him to go back to the one place that Moses was trying to escape? I think all of us would be shaking in our boots to a degree. And yet, remember, God cares for Moses. God makes room for Moses. So God encourages Moses by saying, Moses, I will be with you. I'm giving you my presence. I'm going to walk alongside you, even to dwell within you. So Moses says, okay then, God, what do I call you when I go and try to accomplish this task? And God says those four forceful words, maybe with thunder echoing in the distance, I am who I am. I am who I am. And y'all, if we could spend all day talking about Exodus chapter 3, we could spend the rest of our lives talking about this one response from God himself. Scholars have debated it for millennia. The Hebrew phrase, the tetragrammaton, is one that Bible scholars nerd out about day in and day out, right? It's where we get our words Yahweh and Jehovah. It's why my NIV Bible capitalizes the word Lord in this context. But for our purposes today, all that matters, or what matters the most, we should say, is that God gives Moses his name. God gives Moses his name. As a way of telling Moses, you don't have to worry about what's to come. You don't have to worry about the challenges that you're going to face, the opposition that Pharaoh is going to level before you. You don't have to worry about the Red Sea and the wilderness after that. All you need to know is who I am. Because that will tell you everything else. It'll tell you who you are in my light. It'll tell you what I'm calling you to go and do, which is to set my people free. God gives Moses his name. Because names have power, don't they? Power to change things, power to represent significant milestones, power even to alter the course of history, to put us in one direction instead of the other direction. As you might have guessed, I accepted that call when the PNC reached out. Surprise! Right? And so we soon moved to Winston, at least about a month ago. My family and I have been busy getting settled in this community. Some of you have been here for a long time. Some of you, perhaps not so long. But one of the things that we have to do coming into this community is rent a house, enroll our children in school. We joined the Y recently. We got a Costco membership, y'all. And all of these acts or all of these events required what of us? Our names. I had to sign on the dotted line. I had to put my name down as sort of an act of confidence. As a down payment, as a deposit saying, I am good to go. I'm going to act on this. I will make good on what I say I am going to do. So too with God. It's his name that makes it possible for Moses here to step up to the task, to go back to Egypt with proper confidence, not arrogance, but also not fear. He goes instead with humility and honesty and abundant hope. Because he knows that he doesn't go with his own strength weighing upon him. He goes in the strength of the Lord. He doesn't go with his own name out in front of him. He goes in the name of the Lord. So Moses puts his sandals back on. He puts one step in front of the other, and he makes his way back to Egypt. It kind of reminds me of Bilbo Baggins this way. Y'all know Bilbo Baggins? Good. If not, we'd have a problem. I'm just kidding. At nerd alert, right? Bilbo Baggins, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, has this great quote where he looks at his nephew Frodo and he says, it's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. Begs the question, how do we keep our feet? The answer is by listening to the one who calls. By trusting the one who gives us his name, who promises us his word, who says, I will be with you, I am so for you, and even though you'll face challenges ahead, I will never let you go. Or in the words of Exodus 3, I am who I am. It's a promise that God is leading us, directing us every step of the way. And ultimately, we know this to be true because of Jesus. This is a calling that is ultimately fulfilled, revealed for us today in the person of Christ. He's the fulfillment of this story. If you look at the Gospels, if you flip ahead from Exodus 3 to the Gospel of John, for example, you'll see that Jesus is God in the flesh, the one who comes and confronts all of us. The one who has a conversation with us relationally and the one who calls us to follow him. We'll see this again and again throughout John's gospel. But chapter 1 is a great place to start, of course. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John's talking about the coming of Christ. He's talking about the presence of Jesus, who reveals God in his fullness, the Son of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, Emmanuel himself, God with us. Jesus shows up in John's gospel, and what does he say? I am. He says it again and again and again, and we're going to see that over the next couple of months together. He says, I am the Son of Man. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus doesn't just say it, but he embodies it. Walking the dusty roads of Galilee, entering into Jerusalem, laying down his life on a cross so that we and all God's creation could be redeemed and live again. Jesus gives us everything that we need to be empowered by his Holy Spirit to go forth to share in God's mission for the life of the world around us. That's what it means to be the church, y'all. Men and women gathered together in Jesus' name for his glory, for our good, and for the life of those around us. And as I get started as your senior pastor, no doubt filled with my own versions of fear and trembling like Moses before me, I am so excited to partner with you in this work, in this calling to ministry, in this invitation to follow Christ together. Although truth be told, I see y'all doing a pretty good job already. I don't know if you know about the three E's of the congregation. I've enjoyed learning about them over the past week that I've gotten settled here in the office. The three E's that kind of represent the disciple-making sort of endeavors of First Presbyterian Church. We like to talk about encountering God in worship, equipping one another in discipleship, engaging the world in mission. Seems to me that lines up with this language of confrontation, conversation, and calling pretty well, don't you think? But it's all with the same goal. It's all pointing to the same place, which is following Christ. It's pointing to the person of Jesus, that we might know him better and follow where he's leading us in big ways, but also in small ways. On the outside, but also on the inside, especially as this new season begins. Which means that the questions for us this morning and as this week unfolds for us are simple ones. They come from Exodus 3. Can we let ourselves be confronted by Christ as we might be minding our own business in our day-to-day lives? Putting one foot in front of the other, raising kids or grandkids, going to work, checking in on nieces and nephews. What else do we do in February? Watching basketball. Duke had a tough night last night. Fill in the blank, right? Can we be open nevertheless to the invading presence of God himself? Yet not God in abstraction, God in generalities, God as perhaps Moses thought God was before he had this encounter, but God as he makes himself known to us as I am in the person of Jesus. And then can we learn to have a conversation with this God, recognizing that God desires not just our obedience, although he does desire that, but it desires our relationship. That what we see in Moses with the Lord in the story is something that's actually possible for us, that we open ourselves up to a dialogue with God. That's what prayer is all about, right? Talking with God, listening to God, talking with others, listening to others, so that we might be, in fact, ready to receive God's calling on our lives and on our life together, trusting that God is with us and for us every step of the way. What do you say? Not just, who am I? But here I am. And here we are. All because God is who he says he is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the great I am. You are the one to whom we turn our faces and open our hearts and in whom we put our trust. So would you lead us this morning in your way of love? Confront us, shake us free of our preconceived notions of the way church or the world or our lives work, and expose us to your new and better way, the way of your kingdom. Invite us into a conversation with you and with one another, and then help us to step into this calling you have for us, for your glory, for our good, and for the life of the world around us. We pray in your name. Amen.